Siri is not sick. Someone say not sick. Not sick. Let me ask you this. Is it really what's inside that counts in your life? Is it really what's inside that counts? If so, what's going on inside of you then? We've heard that. What matters? What's going on inside of my heart? What's on the inside? What's going on inside of you then? Is it worry? Is it doubt? Is it loneliness? Is it lust? Sometimes the internal struggles that no one else sees are the ones that blind us the most. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to get the inside story on how God offers hope and strength for overcoming those battles that are on the inside of you in this series called That's Sick. And I believe you're going to find some healing if you would devote yourself to leaning and to learn. And learners, leaders are learners, right? Learners, what they do, they take notes, right? So I hope you've got your notebook with you because I know your brain's not going to remember half of what I say today. And I want you to walk away the most that you can possibly get from Jesus today. So be honest and be engaged. Be activated. Be attentive to what Holy Spirit's saying today. And watch to see what God will do in bringing you through to a new place, I believe, in hope and healing over this next 5 weeks. Here's another question. Are you tired of shallow Christianity? Are you tired of faithing at a shallow level? Do you want to grow and go deeper in your faith? Is anyone here with me today that wants to grow deeper in your faith with God? Yeah. I'm tired of being a cultural Christian who just goes to church, right, and goes to the checklist and sits at the chair and then don't leave here changed. I want to leave here changed. I want to leave here empowered to live the life that Christ has died for me to live, like he gave his life for you and I to live this empowered life, this Holy Spirit charged life to live like him. Why not get all you can get? Right? Why not get all that you can get? So, and here's something. Here's how you can also do that. See, not just today, but on Wednesday night. I'm going to just put a plug in for Wednesday night. Some of you weren't here in the house on Wednesday night. We weren't here, but we were at the cafe. Dad, what's going on at cafe church? Now we're seeing prayer. I heard a confession that there's about 8 or 9 people that were there on Wednesday night, this last Wednesday, who had never prayed out loud over somebody else. And there we are praying out loud over somebody else. But come on, right? Right on. Praying outside, praying over people and praying for their needs. That's growth. That's maturing. That's leaning in to learn to become all that God has called you to be. So I encourage, if you're not here, during the week or haven't been part of the cafe nights on Wednesdays, come on out on Wednesday. It's at the cafe. Ask someone before you go, where's the cafe? And find out how to be involved and come and pray together. We do breakouts and have conversation. This week we're going to have a new challenge for us. We're actually going to have some personal reflection time. We're going to turn on some music and bring your journals. I want you just to sit in a corner and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me tonight. Holy Spirit, come and talk to me. And I trust that God's going to speak to you. So this Wednesday, come on out at 7 o'clock. That's another plug, right? But I want you to come and grow and go deeper in your faith, go deeper in learning how to pray, and go deeper in community that God has actually planted you in, okay? Hey, if you don't want to grow in your discipleship, stay home in your pajamas. That's okay. Be comfortable. But just know the spiritual growth is actually worth it. It really is worth it. But you've got to be intentional. Your default is not growth. It's actually decline and atrophy, okay? That's your default. And so you've got to be a participator in your growth. And spectating only keeps us stuck in our comfort. And it's an idol in today's culture. So what do we do? Look, we push back against the idolatry of this world, don't we? If you've been around here at all. And so we just own it. We're pushing back on the idolatry in our lives by showing up and getting involved and making our discipleship a priority in our lives, all right? Someone preach with me this morning? All right. Okay, enough of that. Well, everyone with your Bible, let's open up today to the book of Ephesians. And stick your thumb in there just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we will begin as we start in week number 1 of our series. Today we're going to be talking about anger. Somebody say anger. Anger. The big question I have for you right now to write down to reflect on this is, what makes you angry? What makes you angry? You all have a button. You probably have 4 of them just like me. But you all have a button or 2, right? And that button gets pushed throughout the week. I know. I'm not the one confessing here this morning. Maybe it's when someone cuts you off in traffic and you're on the way to church today and you wave at the one-finger salute at the window or whatever that might look like. You got angry, right? It could be rude people in your life. It could be arrogant people in your life. Those who think they know all the answers, those people too, right? They might make you angry, right? Maybe your spouse makes you angry because he always leaves his underwear on the floor. You know, just put them where they go in the basket and do the laundry. Maybe your wife, she squeezes the toothpaste from the middle, that kind of thing, right? And the dent in the middle of the tube, and it's all over the cab, and it's gross, and it's maybe that makes you angry, I don't know. Could be your boss. Maybe your boss makes you angry, gets you all twisted up inside. sometimes little things, big things, like maybe it's poverty that makes you angry. When you drive down Nickel Street, you're like, man, this makes me angry, what's going on in my city? Then we're going to talk about that thing. What makes you angry? What's making you angry? Maybe it's child abuse. Maybe it's politics. You know, like, whatever it is, we all experience anger, don't we? Yet, here we go. Anger can be good if it leads you to righteousness, when it leads you to righteous acts. And it can be bad if it causes you to sin. If it causes you to sin. So what makes you angry today? You may not know this, but there are 15 different verses in the Bible that have both the word anger and the word fire in the same verse. In reality, anger is a lot like a fire. It's a lot like fire, right? Fire can be good, of course. It can warm you. It can help you cook. Or it can be bad. If you stick your hand on fire, it's going to burn you, right? It can be like, ah, like, just like anger, fire can be good or bad as well. For me, there are some things that make me angry. Be a little bit surprised by it, but maybe not. But it's often the little things in life that trip me up in my anger, right? Like, what makes you angry? Here's a bigger question I want to ask you, is this one today, is dealing with anger. Are you giving the devil a guest room in your life? Are you giving the devil a guest room in your marriage, in your school system, in your household, in your relationships? Are you giving the prince of darkness a guest room in your heart? You may wonder, well, where did that weird question come from? How am I giving the devil a guest room in my house at all? The Bible, here, let's look at it. What was it? Ephesians 4, 26 to 27 says, gives us a lot of insight into anger. The Bible says, first of all, says, if you guys would help me out, the Bible says, if you're anger, in your anger, do not what? Do not sin. Do not sin. Right? In your anger, do not sin. First of all, we have to acknowledge that to be angry is not necessarily a sin. In fact, we can say that there's probably two types of anger. Two types. There's a good kind of anger like fire. It can be good, what we might call sanctified or righteous anger. And that's when we get angry about something that angers the heart of God. Right? That's something that we see in Scripture, that God was angry when that happened. God still has anger towards things. Like, and we do something righteous because of that anger. So we enact on missio dei, to partner in God with his anger towards whatever that might be. He might be angry in without sinning. There's another kind of anger, though, that we could call sinful anger. We're probably most of us get caught up in, actually, if we're to be honest. And that's when we just get angry at something that doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. I know it matters so much at the moment. But when we think about it, we step back and we breathe, we have sneakers, whatever it is. And you're like, oh, it wasn't a big deal after all, right? Not a big deal. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. Or maybe it does to you. Maybe it really does matter. But it leads us to do the wrong thing. It really leads us to do the wrong thing. Somebody, you know, something outside the heart and the will of God. That's when we're doing something that's wrong, right? See, a righteous and sanctified anger, or a sinful anger, that's what we're talking about today. And the Scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. Now, let's read on. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Right? So let's stop there for a moment. I actually think this was just talking about marriages, and it does. You know, don't go to bed mad at your spouse, right? It's just unwise. But this verse also applies beyond marriages, really, to all sorts of relationships that you're in. And while Pastor Angela and I, we work hard to not go to bed angry with one another, we will still go, go to bed angry at somebody else instead. Have you ever done that? I'm not angry at my spouse, but I'm mad at the rest of the world, my boss, whatever. You still go to bed angry, right? Somebody else, right? So, but that's what we experience. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it, right? So, why? Well, the Bible says here, if we do so, here's what happens. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a what? Don't give him a foothold. Now, this little Greek word that is translated foothold is the word topote. And it literally means opportunity. It means location. It means place, or very literally actually means room. Don't give the devil room in your life. Don't give the devil a guest room in your marriage. Don't give the devil a guest room in your heart, in your life, in your relationships, in your workplace. Don't give the devil room in your heart. Don't allow him through the open door of anger to live inside of your head, to live inside of your thoughts, to live inside of your emotions. There are all sorts of examples that we see of people who did this in Scripture. And one of the most obvious ones is the story between two brothers. You might remember the story of Cain and Abel. You may know the story very well. Maybe you don't, but they brought their, these two guys, the brothers actually, they brought their offerings to the Lord, and God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And Cain became very, very angry. He opened up the door to the said to Cain, Why are you so angry? You are so angry. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, would you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, what's happening here? Say it aloud with me. If you do not do what is right, the Bible says sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must, say this with me, you must master it. You must master it. Through the open door of anger, sin entered into Cain's heart, into his attitude, into his spirit, and into his life. If you know the story, he actually ended up killing his brother Abel. Why? All over sinful anger. Anger's not always good. Anger sometimes is bad. And this is an example of it. Now, there are those of you in the room today where you already know, okay, God is about to speak to me today. Like, I don't know, maybe you'll be there this week. Maybe you got, you know, and if I'm with somebody or your kids about me or your wife on the way to work or on the way to church this morning, and if you did, you better take some good notes because that means they're going to find some healing. Others of you, you may say, you know what? I'm not really outwardly angry at that. Like, I don't express it out. It doesn't come out of me that way. But you may be more like, you know, like I have become more recent in some years, and you deal with what I call the below the surface anger. Below the surface. So you're simmering. You're just simmering and you're stewing. Anyone got a stew face this morning? I don't know. I have a stew face, but it's not really visible. But just beneath the surface of your life, just beneath the surface of your attitude, just below the surface of everything that you're doing in life, there's often this very high level of frustration. And you're easily angered because of this high level of frustration. Like, you're like, some of you just light the fuse and boom, there you go, right? Like, and people just kind of make you crazy, maybe. Maybe you become critical towards others. People who are at your work are just always getting under your skin. Maybe your spouse is doing something that makes you want to mumble under your breath, you know, whatever. Some of you may be angry at society. And some of you might be even angry at God, actually, too, right? Just beneath the surface. Well, you know, God, you know, if I were you, you know, I wouldn't do things this way. Like, I don't know why I never showed up. Yeah, like, I'm kind of, you know, driving a little crazy here, right? Like, and you're not quite there. It's just full-blown anger, but you've got a little simmering going on, right? And you're kind of like just simmering, like, water is about to boil. You see the little white dots coming. It's not quite broke the surface yet. It just hasn't quite started boiling, you know, but just simmering slightly below the surface anger. Surface anger. Bad. Sanctified anger. Good. So let's start, you know, talking today about the sinful anger. Let's start there because, unfortunately, that may be far more common in most of our lives, actually. Our sinful anger, right? How do we deal wrongly often with sinful anger? Well, here, if you write this down today, there's two ways that I want to highlight for you today. And maybe by talking about these, you will identify some of the wrong ways that you are personally handling sinful anger in your life. Because every one of us in the room has experienced that recently. There's two types we'll talk about today. One of them is spewers. I'm going to say spewers. And there's another one, stewers. Spewers and stewers. Which one are you? Which one are you today? Spewers? Let's talk about spewers for a moment. Spewers express it. Right? If you're taking notes, they're the ones who express their anger willingly, loudly. If you are a spewer, you've got a short fuse, you've got a hot temper, and when you get angry, everybody around you is going to know it, right? Be really honest with me this morning. Like, how many of you would say, you know, between a spewer who keeps them in or a spewer who blows up, who are you more of a spewer? Who's here more of a spewer in the room? Hands up, lots of you around. Yeah, love it. Two hands. I'm older. I'm a spewer. Yeah. Let me just let you in on a nerdy Bible nugget just for a moment. This is going to be difficult, but you just put your hands up. No one's looking around. The Bible says spewers are foolish. Hey, listen, I've been there too, right? Sometimes I still spew, and I get. So I'm being foolish when I spew. I know I didn't say it, the Bible said it. So the Bible says if you are a spewer, you are a fool. Look at scriptures with me real quick, because that's what it's not to me. It's about there. Proverbs 29:11. I still want to be a friend of the church. I'm just kidding. The Bible says a fool does what? A fool gives full vent to his anger. Full vent. Like, it's wide open, honey. Right? He spews it up. But a wise man, what does a wise man do? A wise woman keeps himself under control. Right? Keeps himself under control. One of the great evangelists, Billy Sunday, actually was one of his name. And years ago, he actually preached on this verse, and he was talking about the foolishness of just letting it rip. Anger, I'm talking about. Right? Just letting it rip. Anger. And this is... Right? Yes, I know. But he actually preached on this verse, and he said, you know, one lady came afterwards and said, like, Pastor, like, I beg to defer action. So he does blow up and then fall over. It's all good. And he said, you blow up and it's all over. It's all good. And she said, yeah, it does. And he said, well, so does a shotgun. But think of all the damage that it causes. Right? So you might just say, you know, well, I just blow up and then I'm fine. Well, you may be fine, but there are a lot of wounded people around you probably. And because you just shoot them from the hip, gun, they pull. You know? It matters how we deal with anger. The reality is this. Actually, years ago, I was really more known as being quick-tempered myself. Quick to react, quick to react, quick to say something, quick to, like, oh, yeah, you want to get out of here? Okay, quick, yeah, quick to have a comeback, you know? Oh, yeah? Chase you down, lay some holy hands on you real quick. But the reality is this. Spewing gives full vents to our anger. It's really not a laughing matter in our personal lives. Yeah, I've been a little funny this morning, but let me just say something to some of you right now. Your anger problem is destroying your most important relationships. Only the fool doesn't bring us under the power and submit to the control of God. We're all going to walk out of here with some convictions, and it's okay. We're going to go there. Because we want to leave here changed. We want to leave here different, right? So the spewers thing is a second group of people. Watch the rest of you are. Because only four of you put your hand up for that one. So the rest of you put your hand up for wrestling because you're stewards, I guess. Stewards, the second group, which generally holds in. We call them suppressors. Number two, stewards suppress it. Write that down. If you're a steward, you suppress it. Instead of expressing and venting, spewing your anger, you try to suppress it and keep it all in. So if you're taking notes, they suppress their anger. David in the Old Testament often did this in Psalms 32 and 3. It reads this, records the time when he was really upset and he was holding it. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When I kept silent, I kept it to myself. It does something to my body. It does something to my day, it doesn't do my relationship, it doesn't do me, it makes me sick. I keep all the bottled up like so many of us do, bottled up the anger. And we get upset rather than talking about it in a healthy way, we hold it in. And honestly, you know, you look really good on the outside, you look like you're really self-controlled, right? We do, right? But on the inside, the reality below the surface, what's going on there, there's something smoldering there. And if someone would just dare to breathe on that smoldering, it could catch fire at any minute, right? And it's really the opposite of love, though. You see, because love keeps no records of wrong. But stewards, they keep a long list of offenses. A long list of sins that was done again. That's why you're stewing. You don't spew. So you stew. She did this, and he did that. And, well, you know, I'm worried about this, and I'd never do that. And they stew on it, and they stew on it, and stew on it, and stew on it. And you'll see the sin of stewing on sinful anger destroying so many marriages still today. Couples get upset over often the smallest things, right? And someone will go off, and the next thing you know, they're both stewing, they're both going to bed angry, pretending they're happy, but still stewing, giving the devil a guest room in their marriage, giving a guest room in their bedroom, in their household. Right? And what do? Husbands and wives in the room, we go into what we call the fighting position just before sleep. And that's where he faces one wall and she faces the other wall. And you never let any part of you touch the other person, right? Because, first one who touches loses points, kind of thing. So you know what I'm talking about, right? Like that. And then you never talk. You're just sitting over there the next morning and she's just sitting over there stewing that, well, you better talk first. No, she got, I'm not talking. I apologize first. I can't believe she said that about me. I ain't talking. Then if you accidentally brush up any part of your body, your foot accidentally gets, encouraged, you're excited for a moment, and it goes over the enemy territory, and your foot touches your spouse's foot, you quickly put that foot back, you're like, stupid. You ain't getting any toe tonight, kind of thing. Somebody said that judgment like you ain't ever stood before. We're so godly in this room. And it's like Luke 15 and 28. The older brother, two brothers in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was a son who, asked his father for his inheritance early, which was against protocol back then. You don't ask for your inheritance until your father dies, you get an inheritance. And he took his inheritance and he spent it foolishly. But the prodigal son, you may remember the younger brother basically said, Dad, give me all my stuff, right? And then he went out and blew all his money, blew all his influence, all that stuff. He blew it, just partied hard and came home and to everybody's shock. Father still loved him and received him. It's a beautiful story of how Jesus receives us sinners who have abandoned him and left him. It's this beautiful story. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to look in Luke and read it again. He changes blue and then he comes back and the Father loves him and received him and not only just, received him and loved him, but threw this guy a big old party. Killed the fatted calf and put on a robe and his ring and this party to him. And the older brother, he's like one of these stewards and stewards and he's stewing. Well, I kept all the rules. I did everything right, but I was here for the entire thing. He was out gallivanting around, spending his money on prostitutes and alcohol and whatever leads up to mischief. And I was here doing all the work and milking the cows and whatever else. This isn't fair. How many of you ever said that, you stewards? This isn't fair. And he, because of his stewing anger, Scripture says the older brother became angry and refused to go to the party. The older brother became angry and refused to go. I can't stand the face of that guy. I can't believe my dad would either. What do you think? I refused to go in there to party. Honestly, how many of you would say, yeah, I may not be as much of a steward, but boy, I can be a steward. If you're a steward, would you raise your hand? I'm a steward. He's just going, I'm a steward. I can steward anything, so I'm really comfortable with your place. But I want you to identify it. Because if you can't identify when you keep sinning, how are you going to repent? How are you going to change? If you can't repent, how are you going to follow Jesus? Because you're not following if you can't repent. If repentance is turning away from following your sin and lust and shame, and following Jesus. It's really simple. And sometimes they're like caught in between. Oh, I really want to steal and spew. Oh, Jesus. So what do we do? How do we handle anger? How do we work this? Well, the answer is, it depends on what kind of anger it is. Right? Is it a sanctified anger? I know you justified that anger against your spouse, but it probably wasn't. That which angers us is consistent with that which angers the heart of God. Or is it a sinful anger? Anger that's leading us to do something wrong, to say things, to act things, to think things, to believe things. So how do we handle our anger then? How does this help us on this morning? Because I know we've all been here. Some of us still here. And how do we do it? How do we handle it? The answer is it depends on what do we do with it. So here's some things. Write this down. Firstly, sinful anger, you've got to put it out. It's a fire that's burning within you. You've got to put it out. You've got to put it out. If you're taking notes, we have sinful anger. Let's identify it and ask the Spirit of God to put it out. To put it out. Proverbs 17 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching it down. So what do you do? Say it aloud with me. The Bible says, so what? So drop it. Let it go. So drop the matter before what? Before a dispute. Oh, this is so hard, but I want to fight about it. I want to feel right about it. I want to get even. Drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Drop it. Let it go. Let it go. Then you gotta watch Frozen again and get that in your spirit. Just let it go. Drop it. And somebody can say, but PC on this, you don't understand. I just can't do that. I'm not wired like that. I can't just drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it. Not wired. I don't know. Sometimes. When I get upset, just gotta get somewhere, right? I just can't control it. Friends, you are deceiving yourself. You can control it. And certainly, the Spirit of God who is living inside of you can bring it under control. Some of you might say, well, I used to understand. Yes, I do. And I can promise you, I guarantee, if you just blow up, there have been times where you're just ranting and raving and saying lots of things. Yeah. And then your phone rings, and you're like, oh, hello. Oh, yeah. I'm fine there. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. That's amazing testimony. Oh, you sure? I've been praying for you. Yeah. We should get together. Right? And you're not looking at your husband anymore. He's got some sweet voice now. Yeah, we should do that. Blessings. Bye-bye. Right? How do we do that? Because you can choose how to respond, can't you? Bring it under control. And then get that check. I'm preparing for this message. I watched myself this last couple weeks. And I had a number of times in the past week where I could have gotten angry at something. And honestly, let's just go full transparency just for a second. Is that okay? Let's not help somebody out today. There was one day this week, and I was with Jewish, he's my witness, where I did get angry for a moment. And I felt justified by it. Because I slipped and fell on wet grass. First one, it's mowing the weeds and it's like a steep hill. I'm like, trying to get down. Oh, all of a sudden, I slip and fall. First one, I'm like, okay, I'm going to give you some grace, God. You know, 3 minutes later, what do I do again? Slip again. This time, I twist my leg up behind me. I was in some weird position. I had a child. I was like, I'm so mad at these stupid shoes. I can't believe I wore these dumb shoes today. I hate landscaping. Full transparency. Some of us got some freedom then, I guess. And it was a good week. And for the most part, I chose not to get angry over other similar things, really, that didn't really matter, right? Like my dumb shoes. So, okay, maybe they're running late. For the 23rd time. Drop it. Just drop it. Maybe somebody even load the dishwasher the way you want to load it. Just drop it. Just drop it, right? Praise God, they tried. They put the cup in the wrong place. I know. Somebody at work is always getting in your skin. Drop it. Just drop it. There are some things that are just not worth getting angry about so that you sin and forget that you're a follower of Jesus. He says, just drop it. And it's so hard. It's so cool. Let's drop it like it's hard. Like that's what you did. You just drop it like it's hard because it's a fire you're playing with. And I'm not going to have enough. Yeah. So how do we grow in this then? Because we're not walking with him. We need to help Jesus. James 1, verse 19 says, and you help with this verse. And say it aloud. Everyone should be quick to, slow to, and slow to. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to become angry. So let me tell you some good news about my journey. I'm becoming slow to anger, slower to anger, except for this week. I'm working on slow because we're going to. Over the time I've seen from where I was to where I'm at, there's a noticeable difference in my life. Big difference. I'm going to say, yeah, Josh is driving. That's not quite. You know, why though? Because God is making me more like him. That's what's going on in my life. And I'm submitting to God. I'm surrendering to his discipleship in my life. You know, there are 7 different books of the Bible, 7 different writers who all capture the same quality of God. 7 different writers say, God is slow to anger and abounding in love. So if I'm becoming more like God, then what am I going to look like? Slow to anger and abounding in love. Right? I'm becoming slow to anger, and it's becoming noticeable in my life, and I pray that from here, it's from this day forward, it's going to become noticeable in your life, to get you slower to anger and abounding in love. Because now you look more like Jesus instead of the person of Jesus that you want to portray. It's really more about you, right? And what we want in life than what God wants for you and those around you. Slow to anger. If you got anger problems, let God deal with it. No excuses. Drop it, right? Because he wants you to be more like him. He wants to make you more like him. If it's sinful anger, God put it out. Help me put it out, Jesus. But what if it's what we call sanctified anger? Your anger is something that's consistent with the heart of God, something that makes him mad. Here's what that sanctified anger. Here's what you do with sanctified anger. You fill it with flame. You breathe out. How do you breathe out? You breathe out with prayer. You breathe out with worship. You breathe out about being God's word. You breathe out about being around people who are pursuing the same things in God. You fan the flame. Have you ever been, you know, camping out? You fan the flame when you're desperate. I want to eat some marshmallow, some of whatever it is, right? But you want to fan. When you look at scripture, you can see that Jesus, he got angry, but he didn't sin. It's a righteous example. There are several examples. One of my favorites is the story where this guy with a shriveled up hand, who happened to be in the synagogue, he went to church, and it was on the Sabbath day, and there was people there watching Jesus to try and catch him, waiting for him to be, you know, maybe to heal somebody on the Sabbath, like that, that's some kind of horrible sin or something, and doing something on the Sabbath. Jesus, we dare you. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, and asked them a question. He said, what's more lawful, doing something good, or doing nothing at all on the Sabbath? Really keep him mad, friends. He was angry. And if instead, the kingdom of God said to this, stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand, and it was completely restored. Right? Instead of allowing his anger, friends, listen to me, because I know some of you are walking in a gift of healing, and because your anger has prevented you from actually walking in your gifting. Allowing his anger to cause him to sin would have prevented him from actually seeing the miracle happen. God, we see we need some miracles in this church. And we've got to learn how to be righteous, angry people. Right? That's not just venting our own personal anger at one another. Sinful anger, but righteous anger. And his anger didn't cause him to sin, but his anger caused him to do something righteous. Would you let your anger help you do something righteous? Would you let your anger help you be more like Christ? When you look at the scripture, you see what Paul was angry over. Would you get angry for those things as well? Would you get angry for the ones who are broken, the ones who are suffering, the ones who are without Christ? Would you get angry for those who are lost and need Jesus? Would we get angry for those things instead of our bosses, instead of our kids unloading the dishwasher, our spouses? We get angry over all these things. But your anger can cause you to do something righteous or something. Get angry. Let the Spirit of God fan that flame to life in your life. As your marriage struggling, get angry. Not at your spouse, but at the evil one who wants to camp out in your room and whisper lies into your ear about how your wife is not there. Listen to me, friend. You've got to get angry. What God would be angry with. The devil wants to create division and sedition and strife in your house. And you can say, no, not today, Satan. I'm being righteous with my anger. And like, you know what? Sweep the floor like nobody's business today. Like, get angry and just be righteous. Get your spouse out and for coffee. Like, I love you. I appreciate you. You're friends. Sometimes we're not discontent in the setting of sin, and then we spread it to our kids. And we destroy the peace of our home. And you just kept the devil out of your mind. You just kept him out today. Now get out. I wish you all would get more angry at the devil. Get angry at sin. Get angry. Get righteous angry. Fan the flame. Are you sick of the same old temptation that you keep getting caught up in last week? I said you did it because you like it. Just get angry at it. Kick it out. Stop it. You can. You can control it. You can make the choice. Get angry. Let the I'm not looking at that anymore. I'm going to do something else. Go get up out of your bed and go do something profitable and helpful. Mow the lawn or something. Use that energy somewhere else. Get angry and be righteous towards what God's calling you to be righteous toward. Declare war on that temptation. Are you sick of seeing God's great church stuck in mediocrity? Get angry. Let it change how you get involved in God's great church. Are you sick of seeing all of the hurt and addiction in your friends' lives and disease and poverty around us? Make a difference. Get angry. Stop making excuses for how busy you are. Get angry, fan that flame, get in the prayer room, friends. Come on Wednesday night and pray with your friends and with your church. Get a word from God. Line up your actions and thoughts and spirit and attitude with the Word of God. Get angry and do something righteous about it. Is there some group of people that is burdened in sin or making bad decisions that God has given you a heart for them? Oh man, hurt even more. I've been praying, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. I'm going to tell you what's breaking mine in just a moment. I know I'm going to step on some toes today, but I believe it's going to help us have some freedom in this church and help us take the step to move forward and to impact more people's lives for Jesus. Like, you've got to get angry. There's something about it. You know what's been burning in my spirit? I'm just going to be really honest with you, and you might not come back, but I trust you will. I hope you will, but maybe someone will get some freedom from this. I'm angry in my spirit that activities and work and sports have to be on Sunday. Emptying churches of families and kids that the church is meant to lead and to guide and to foster and to develop and to disciple. Friends, I believe that families and kids and children and teens and the next generation, you know, that we're busy. We're busy in our next generation of leaders who are meant to be spirit-filled children of God, equipped and empowered to change the world that we live in for Jesus. And God has called you. He has set you apart from the world. He has set you up to move forward and to help others to know Jesus and to find freedom and to discover their purpose and make a difference. Like, we want to see a generation of kids empowered and baptized by the Holy Spirit. I'm angry enough this sports leagues. And maybe we'd have to start our own programs that can provide coaching and playtime and sports arenas all of God's days and all the first day of the week, the day that's meant to bring worship and sacrifice back to a great God. It's His. It's our first day when we give that day. Like, man, I feel like that's a stir in my spirit because I see a generation that's being robbed. It's robbing the church of our kids. Here's what I'm going to say. It's a spiritual abortion of the fruit that God gave us to steward for His kingdom. And God said, I'm angry at it. My spirit's riled up against what the enemy wants to do to pull people out of God's great church and help you be empowered to make a difference in the world that we're living in. We've adopted the idolatry of our world. But I say, God wants you to be equipped and empowered to change the world that we live in for Jesus. It's the work of our heavenly friends at MTR, God's great church, of our next generations. Friends, would you be angry for our next generation? Would you be angry? We preach a sermon series not long ago about fighting for the next generation. Would you fight for me? Would you pick up a sword and fight? What does that look like? Some people just look like saying no and protecting what God has given us. Does this mean the freedom to gather and worship and freedom to gather and gather and disciple our kids and disciple our teens and disciple? And I love what I get. And I get to show the young adults and I get to see them praying for the first time. I get to see them find victory and freedom from same-sex attraction, freedom from addiction, freedom from alcohol and drugs, and seeing them free from all kinds of sin and bodies. Like, come on, that's what I'm fighting for. Is there anybody else who want to fight with me? Come on, church, let's go. Fight for your kids to get in the house of God with your family. Fight to help make a difference alongside your kids. You can make the choice. You can control it. You can. Friends, maybe be a church who diminishes in sinful anger and increases in righteous anger. This will be a tangible difference. It's not bound to the minds of this world. That would never fulfill you, nor your kids, nor your family. Why don't we get angry about the things that anger the heart of God and fan the flame and do something about sinful anger and sanctified anger? How do we respond? Closing, let's review. If you would stand with me just for a moment, turn some music so people have some hope of closing.